Forward in Faith. It's next. Never has the world been more confused and the scriptures been more exciting than today. Forward in Faith invites you to listen to the international voice of the Church of God, Pastor Loran Livingston, as he ministers to his vast congregation of the Central Church of God in Charlotte, North Carolina. Stay with us now as Loran gives answers from God's Word to guide you forward in faith. And now, here's Loran Livingston.
I really mean this. I want the light to come on for somebody today. So, Father, as we go to your word, we ask that you give us an understanding. Dear Lord, once again, I pray and we realize, unless the Holy Spirit enlightens us, we will not get it. And so I cry out, let us hear. Let us see. Deep is calling unto deep. Draw near to God. Oh, how we need it. So I'm trusting you now and I'm thanking you now that today someone is going to be stirred to take hold of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Smile at somebody before you're seated. Let's read the scriptures together. Okay, I guess you want to be seated. Let's decide here. We got half up and half down. Stand with me, please. I apologize if I was unclear in those directions. I want to go to a very familiar passage of Scripture. Hopefully, God has given us and will give us a new insight. Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 38. Now it happened as that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Have you ever read that before? Have you ever heard a message on that before? Of course you have. You may be seated. Thank you. Well, I'm not here to talk about Martha's hysteria or overwhelmed moment. I want to say to this church and to you who are listening, everybody is sitting at someone's feet. You, I, saved and lost people are sitting at someone's feet. And that someone is shaping our thoughts. And our thoughts are shaping our words. And our words constitute our conversations. And our conversations indicate the life we are living. These people or this person is fashioning your life, whether you know it or not. And that's why this passage of Scripture is so very important, as simple as it is and as many times as we've heard it. It begs for attention this morning. It begs God's people to once again not only look at but understand the words of Jesus Christ to this woman named Martha. My days my thinking, all of me have been crafted by the sources of information I get. Therefore, if you came in today and you're upset about lots of things, it is not because you've been reading the Bible. It is because you've been watching and listening that which has no understanding of spiritual and eternal things. And you have allowed yourself to be so saturated sitting at the feet of this person that you are now, as a believer, thinking like an unbeliever. You're upset about the things unbelievers are upset about. You are wanting the things that the world is wanting. And you're a believer. You believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you gave your life to Him. But instead of sitting at His feet, you've been sitting at their feet. And you know, we do the choosing. Here it is, right here. One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part. We choose to be busy and full of care. We choose to be frustrated about life and upset about Washington because we're sitting at the wrong feet. I just want to say it again. I'm trying to say it in different ways so you won't think I'm being redundant. I choose to be busy and full of care by the feet I'm sitting at and the voice I'm listening to. Did you know Jesus can be in your house and you'd be too busy to acknowledge Him? That's what the Bible says here. Martha welcomed Him into her house. Do you see that? Verse number 39 or 8. Martha welcomed Him into her house. But in essence, she said, come on in, make yourself at home, but I have things to do. I have a life to live. I have food to prepare. I have floors to be mopped and cleaned, and I don't know if they had children there or not. It was Mary and Martha and Lazarus, two sisters and a brother. I don't know who else was there, but there were things to be done. And she was so kind to Christ. Come, stay at my house. In fact, He became very close to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Come on in. And while you're sitting here, I'm just going to carry on. I'm going to do what I've always done. I'm going to mind my business. I can't let anything go. There's too much to be done. I have a routine. I have a schedule. I have responsibilities. And I won't even consider not doing these things to sit at your feet. So I want to say again, it's possible that you have invited Jesus into your house, but you're too busy to take time to sit at His feet. But you can sit at Oprah's feet. And Hannity. And Rush. And that whole scatter who knows what on CNN. Or false prophets. All day long, you can sit and listen to false prophets spewing lies and deceptions and twisting the scriptures in the name of Jesus. You can be hearing about Jesus and even observe Jesus being misrepresented, but you don't know it because they are crafting your thinking. And yet the Lord Jesus is right here, available right now. He's within a breath of you. But it seems so hard to get along with Jesus when all I have to do is click a button and there I can sit at her feet. and let her tell me how to think, and let her tell me what's real and culturally relevant. Or I can sit at his feet and let him tell me how bad everything is and how I ought to be thinking as an American about certain things. Or I can just click a button instead of taking my Bible, which is the truth. The truth. It's not some of it or part of it. This is the truth. And instead of having some false prophet chew it up and vomit it out on me and let me scrape it out and try to make something good out of it, I could have it myself. I could have pure water, fresh bread, manna from heaven, truth that I don't have to wonder, is this real or is this the way it's supposed to be? Jesus can teach me. The Holy Ghost can teach me. I don't have to have one of them. And they are all self-proclaimed experts, don't you know it? And the reason people stay spiritually confused is because they've listened to confused people. And the reason people, even in churches like this, are politically angry is because all they've done is sit at the feet of politically angry people. And the reason people like you are still racially mad about everything is because you've sat at the feet of people who are racially angry about everything. They've taught you to be sensitive about everything and look for buzzwords and try to find out what people are really like and what they're really thinking. And you ask Jesus into your house. And you've listened to everybody else except Jesus. Folks, you have to choose to sit at his feet. You can't just click a button and have Jesus reveal himself to you. You have to draw near to God. It's easy to listen to these other people and sit at their feet because you can still stay busy and listen to them all day long. But if you're going to hear Jesus, you've got to shut everything down. And you got to find a place with him. And you have to present yourself, your body, your soul, your mind, and your spirit, and say, I'm here to hear you. You will not make me angry. I know it, Lord. You will not make me sensitive. You will not keep me upset. Because in your presence there is fullness of joy. There is peace that passes understanding. God, I don't know what's wrong with us Christians. We choose to have headaches and be upset when all we'd have to do is sit at the feet of Jesus and have him stroke our souls, calm us down, and show us what really matters in life. I tell you, the Bible says, draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. That doesn't mean you just kind of say, hey, I'm here, Lord. No, it says there is a thought-out process, a concentrated effort, an intentional movement towards God. It's a sacrificial act to get to a spiritual place where you sit at his feet and whatever he says blesses and cleanses and restores. He captivates your soul. He blesses you with spirit and truth at his feet. It's not easy. Even the writer of Hebrews said, it is good for me to draw near to God. David said the same thing. It's always good to draw near to God, for healing comes from him. Another writer said, it's good for me to draw near to God with a true heart in full assurance of faith. What does that mean? It means when I sit at their feet, I'm always still sick and confused and upset and angry. But when I sit at his feet, my heart is full and running over, and his confidence covers my life. I'll get going here in a minute. Folks, midnight's coming. I don't know if you understand what I just said. We're still having a party. The Titanic is sinking. We have sat at the feet of people who have told us what to believe about the Middle East crisis. You ain't been there. All you know is what they told you. They tell us what's happening in the White House. We get mad. You've not been there. You've sat at somebody else's feet. You don't know what's going on. Come on, somebody listen to me today. We're mad about stuff we don't even know. We're arguing about stuff we don't even understand. But it's about to break wide open over there, just as the Bible said it would. This Ukrainian-Russian thing. Oh, God. But let me tell you what's happening. God is lining things up. God is. Did you know God is the one that ordains these things? Did you know God is? Well, you'll never understand him. So let me tell you something that'll really blow your mind if you're new to the faith. God will pick out a nation to punish his people. And when they punish his people and they repent, God will turn around and punish the nation that punished the people. You can't figure God out. But right now, God is orchestrating things over in that part of the world so that one of these days soon, and Putin is just one of the many, many pawns in this game. He thinks he's a bad dude, but God could flick his head off his shoulders just by batting his eye. He ain't no badder than Nebuchadnezzar was, or Caesar, or Hitler, or Mussolini, or anybody else. God sits in the heavens and giggles. He laughs at these men who think they are bad to the bone. God says, I'm gonna let you think that for a little while, then I'm gonna take you off the scene of action. Because this is not about you, sir. This is about me, my glory, my son. And one day, every nation is going to recognize who Jesus is. Hallelujah. So God is designing this thing so that one of these days, I don't know when, nobody knows when, Russia's coming down from the north to invade Israel. That'll be the last time she invades anybody. And this is happening right now. All over this planet, things are coming apart. All over this planet, hatred is increasing. Division multiplying. All over this planet, trouble on every hand. And what are we doing? We're watching television and playing and gambling and getting into multi-level marketing so we can become gigantic millionaires. Let me just say this. I've never met anybody in multi-level marketing that drew closer to God when they started making money. Well, I didn't get much of a response on that deal, did I? Because some of you are in it. Right now, you're thinking, I think I'll go to another church next Sunday. But that won't change a thing. It won't change a thing. You cannot serve two masters. You've either got to put your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength into sitting at the feet of Jesus, or you're putting it at the feet of darkness and deception and mammon. That's right. Midnight's coming. What will you be able to do when midnight comes? When the economy really does collapse? When this country really doesn't have any strength anymore? What will we do? What will you do when suddenly all of our Christian rights have eroded so much that we don't have any rights anymore? What will you do? Well, I'll tell you what I don't think you'll do. I don't think you'll call Oprah or Hannity or Rush.
That's right.
No, they can't help you. In the 16th chapter of Acts, I'm telling you, I'm blessing myself today. I love to preach when it's this good. Paul and Silas were on their way to pray, and a girl with a spirit of divination, a palm reader, a fortune teller, a devil, kept following Paul and Silas around saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God who tell us the way of salvation." You think, praise God. Somebody following them around like that, giving them public relations, free advertising. Praise God. But the Bible strangely says that Paul got terribly irritated and turned around and said, "You foul spirit, come out." And the spirit came out. And when her masters found out that she could no longer read palms, read the future, and lie and fool people, they drug Paul and Silas into the marketplace and got a big crowd together. "Hey, these guys are Jews, and they're teaching things that we Romans ought not to know about. And they're teaching us to observe things that Rome would be against." And the magistrates, oh boy, how dramatic, tore their clothes. The judges, yeah, and commanded that they be beaten. And they ripped Paul and Silas's clothes off and beat them with many stripes, the Bible says, with rods. And then commanded that they be thrown into prison. And being so scared that they might get away, they thrust them into the innermost prison and put their feet in stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas praised and sang hymns unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly a great earthquake shook the foundations of the jail, and the doors flew open, and everyone's bands were loosed. Hallelujah. Nobody was a prisoner anymore. And the jailer, thinking that everybody was getting away, was going to kill himself with his sword. And Paul said, "Don't do that. We're all here." And he came in and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can be saved right along with your house." Then he took them to his house, washed their stripes, and gave them a big meal and had a baptism service. My question to you is, when your midnight comes, what will you do? Well, it depends on whose feet you've been sitting at. If you've been sitting at the world's feet, you will panic, you will run, you will cry. But if you've been sitting at the feet of Jesus, you'll just lift up your hands and bless the name of the Lord. Oh! No, no. Everybody's got to help me praise Jesus this morning. Hallelujah! No, no. That was a warm-up. You just stay right where you are. That was a warm-up. Somebody's got to help me, because I had a midnight. And thank God I'd been at his feet. And instead of crumbling and dying and withering away, I just lifted up my hands and began to sing unto God. Help me praise him now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, thank you. You may be seated. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Israel found herself surrounded by Moabites and Ammonites. Nothing's changed. And here's what the king said. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. I love this. But our eyes are on you. There it is. We're going to sit at your feet. We don't know what to do. They far outnumber us. We're totally inept, incompetent, incapable. So we'll just keep our eyes on you. Oh, what I wouldn't do to get every one of you in here today to understand the power of prayer. What I wouldn't give. We have hundreds of people here on Wednesday night. Hundreds and hundreds. But oh, I'd love to see you come here, because we're just going to pray. Keep our eyes on Jesus. I'm not going to panic about what's going on in the world. God's got the whole world in his hands. What I'm concerned about is me. I want to make sure I stay at his feet and stare in his face. Because I will reflect whose face I'm looking at. Did you hear me? You will reflect whoever you look at. You will imitate whoever's feet you are sitting at. I want to say that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole world to show himself strong to those whose hearts are loyal to him. Read it with me now. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him.
You may receive an audio CD of the message you've just heard for a $5 contribution. In requesting CDs, please give the date on which you heard the broadcast. Write to Forward in Faith, P.O. Box 2430, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320. Or you may order through our toll-free number, 1-800-251-4024. Again, that number is 1-800-251-4024. Forward in Faith is a listener-supported broadcast. Please send your contributions to Forward in Faith, P.O. Box 2430, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320.